And we continue on the second half now of broadcast number 648. It's May the 7th, 1984. I do want to say I didn't put on the disclaimer that before we begin the second half, I'm responsible for what is heard on this station as my research and my work, and I give the sources of information. So Kazoo is not responsible for what May Bressel says, but they offer the opportunity for all of us to share it together. But the book Reagan's Ruling Class by Ronald Brownstein and Nina Easton, it's put out by Pantheon Books. It was 1982. It seemed like just a year ago, but it's already a year and a half out, and with an introduction by Ralph Nader. There is a wonderful series. There are biographies of people in the administration of Ronald Reagan. And I hit upon the synthetic fuel story a while back when, as I say, the Grenada invasion took place, and there was this total control where no news people were ever allowed. And this is in the history of the United States going back at least 100 years. And the way that Caspar Weinberger and George Shultz and the Pentagon kept all newspaper people off for 2 days, and then by invitation they had to be flown out the very same day back to Barbados. And Edwin Meese was controlling the news, and I was reading this book about different people, about Ronald Reagan, and something came up in one of the articles about a foundation called the Institute for Contemporary Studies that I've mentioned before. It was established in 1979, and the purpose was that Ronald Reagan was going to run for president and hopefully be president. And it was for Edwin Meese. He helped get this institute started. It was for him. And this group name came out because the purpose of the group in San Francisco that was set up was to teach and write reports urging tighter control of the president over news coverage of the White House. And when I read about this institute in San Francisco, and how Meese and Larry Speaks and the group could control the press in the White House and control all people and all information coming out of the White House the way they do, I hit upon this institute. It was in the newspaper, and then I began to read about Edward Noble, who set up the institute for Edwin Meese on controlling the news media. And in the book, Reagan's Ruling Class, pages 216 to 222, I'll give you just a little bit about Mr. Noble. The Synthetic Fuels Group was set up by Jimmy Carter when he was president, and didn't really get off the ground until Ronald Reagan came along. They were to be allocated $15 billion the first 4 years and $88 billion for a 10-year program, when we literally have an oil glut. The potential cost was described as three times the Apollo space program and $10 billion more than the entire federal interstate highway program for several years. Mr. Noble's staff is 200 people, and his budget for 1982, when the book was written, was $24 million. Does that remind you of Attorney General William Francis Smith's trips? Edward Noble is on the board of directors of Noble Affiliates, and he's chairman, even though the presidents keep leaving out of the Sinfield because of scandals. He's the chairman, and he is so wealthy, he's worth several million dollars, so he takes a dollar a year, but supervises as chairman this tremendous wad of money. Now, Noble Affiliates, N-O-B-L-E, it's not Nobel like Nobel Prizes, N-O-B-L-E, Affiliates, is combined oil drilling firms and truck lines and a company called Samadan, named after his children. They have oil drillings in Ardmore, Oklahoma, in Louisiana, in Mississippi, in Alabama, in Florida, offices in New Orleans. He has other oil drillings in Oklahoma, Texas, Arkansas, with offices in Oklahoma City. His main offices are in Oklahoma, but the attorney for all of these is in Dallas Connection. This was in Dallas. This is another Dallas Connection I called to the Mises because of the William Moss Institute, and because this man is literally the godfather of Edwin Meese and has set the course or the route for Edwin Meese and then Meese to influence Ronald Reagan. He has oil offices in Canada, in Calgary, and also down in Australia, and shopping centers in Atlanta, and the Noble Inns, a motor hotel chain in Georgia, Florida, Ohio, and a Tulsa auto crane company and director and principal stockholder of that. I looked up the Nobel Foundation. It was named after his father. I looked in various issues of Who's Who. I didn't find any biography of these people with this tremendous wealth. None of them are listed. I looked in Standard & Poor's and found the office of Sam Noble with Noble Affiliates in Oklahoma. Looked up every member of the board of Who's Who, and only one, Jack David Wilkes, was described as an international banker or a student of international money from and worked with the National Bank and Trust Company in Oklahoma. There were no outstanding people for all of the funds they have and for all the work, because a lot of new money is intelligence money, Defense Department money, or Otto Skorzeny money. I looked to these corporations, into Who's Who, Dun & Bradstreet, the Standard & Poor's, to get some hold of where they came from, that they all of a sudden have these huge foundations. He is the trustee of the Samuel Robert Noble Foundation, named after his father, Lloyd Noble, an oil pioneer in 1954. I couldn't find any trace of him. It may be there in some oil books, but I can't find anything on that. And two of the things that caught my mind that I'll refer to in a few moments is that he set up funds for agriculture and cancer research. Again, the cancer connections and the agricultural. Here he's funding Dow Chemical, and we'll get to that. I mean, hundreds of millions of dollars for Dow, and they can afford some of their own experiments. Agriculture and cancer, and as I say, I'll get to that in a moment. He set up and funded, he has a lot of money for think tanks, the Committee on Present Danger in 1977 to 79, which was one of those many think tanks set up for Ronald Reagan's inauguration, pre-inauguration campaign money. And as I say, the Institute for Contemporary Studies, which is how to control the news media. He set up money in 1978 for the Free Congress Resource and Educational Foundation. He set up in 1979 the Institute for Foreign Policy Analysis from Cambridge, Massachusetts, a conservative think tank for defense and foreign policy, the Nobel Affiliates Political Action Committee, funding 725 Republican candidates. And he's very political on the far right wing. He has a lot of influence in the Hoover Institute, 15-year member of the Hoover Institute at Stanford University, gave him $620,000. Fundraiser for the Heritage Foundation, and he wrote that Heritage Foundation, he gave more than $1.2 million, wrote the political platform that was delivered to Edwin Meese and to E. Pendleton James, the man who does all the controversial hiring in the White House of these various crooks and people. And he had a strong conservative philosophy, and the money is on the line, and these reports from the affiliations that Mr. Noble has are very, very disturbing. And he has his right to his opinion. But if he's an oil engineer, he should stick to oil. It's like the IG Farben company wanting to make synthetic fuels and not be dependent upon importing oil into the continent of Europe. But combining the philosophy of oil or the technology of oil with putting people in the ovens, working them until they die, and then roasting them in the ovens and bringing in the next batch, is the political with the energy, and it isn't strictly using energy for its best appropriate means. It's using slave labor and extermination and targeting people for genocide simultaneously with energy. And the duplication happening now is what happened before, and it's very dangerous. Now, in the book, Reagan's Ruling Class, it tells you the major issues of Mr. Edward Nobel. It says this massive synfuel subsidy that they have, they don't know how much money the applicants invest in projects, or the government puts up money for Exxon and major corporations to experiment with, and it asks the question about that. They also said that synfuel so far has devastating environmental effects. It's already turned up evidence of serious birth defects from exposure to the product that they're getting out. The environment and the synfuel record is poor. There are no regulatory standards applicable to synthetic fuel. They're a boss of their own, just like there were no standards of labor at Auschwitz. You brought in a trainload. You said, he works, he cooks, he works, he cooks, she works, she cooks, put them in the oven, and that's it. And they took the strong ones and didn't have to feed them, were like Puneman, the Nazis did that there with their space products, and IG Farben did it with their synthetic fuel projects. And there's no regulation here on the environment and what they're doing. The book about the Synfuel Corporation says that scores of potentially dangerous substances associated with the products are not covered under any Environmental Protection Act. Clean air, clean water regulations, that they're not applied well to the other agencies, but they're on the books. Nothing applies here. They have carte blanche to anything they want. The EPA hazardous waste regulations and waste materials have laws. There are absolutely no laws, and these kind of sleazy people with the far-right intent that they have are running the Synfuel program. This analysis of the group says the Synfuel ads, they add to that greenhouse effect that creates the motive for the space stations. They're polluting and adding to the effect on the air where the oxygen does not circulate and move, and this is the excuse for the book Alternative 3 or Gerard O'Neill or NASA space stations, is that greenhouse effect covering the Earth as a blanket. They are adding to that, and there is absolutely no agency to regulate the situation. They're creating what the Nazis and the space scientists said we need the space stations for. They're creating the circumstances right out of the funding of our money into the Synfuel situation. And they haven't studied the effect on the environment and minutes of the certain synthetic fuel products. The reports of them indicate that they are making genetic alterations on animals who are now having extra pairs of eyes and so forth. In summary, this book on the Synthetic Fuel Corporation said it is the very symbol of corporate welfare. They assist companies like Exxon, Texaco, Dow Chemical with billions of aid for future ventures that the private sector doesn't want to finance. Now, Mr. Edward Noble is very heavy into financing, as I say, the Heritage Foundation. And he presented a study that was made to Ronald Reagan and Edwin Meese. It was printed in the Washington Post, November the 10th, 1980. And I have a copy of it. The Heritage Foundation group made a suggestions to the new-to-be president, this is late 1980, just before the inauguration, and was presented to E. Pendleton James and Edwin Meese III. Here are some of the things in the report. Abolish the Department of Energy by 1982. They haven't done that, but that's one of the things they wanted to do. And remember, a few weeks ago, I mentioned how on the program how Edwin Meese wanted to give Bechtel Corporation the uranium and the energy production in the United States. Do away with the Department of Energy. Revoke all executive orders requiring affirmative action for minorities. Get rid of all equal firing for black, yellow, Indians, reds, whatever, Chicanos, or gays, or I guess lesbians, or whatever you want. There's no equal. Revoke all orders requiring any kind of affirmative action. Strip the Office of Surface Mining of its powers just to, in quotes, make an example to other agencies. Take the surface mining and strip it of all its powers. Return the functions of the Environmental Protection Agency to states, not to the government. The government can pollute. The state has to pay to clean it up. Use agricultural exports as a weapon in foreign policy. Downgrade the National Security Council. Impose a 90-day moratorium on exports to Eastern Bloc countries. Boost the 1981 defense budget by $20 billion. Develop new strategic bombers. Deploy neutron bombs in Europe and raise your military spending by $35 billion every year for the next 5 years. Revoke any guideline that tells intelligence agencies how to operate in the Constitution. Take away all guidelines on the CIA and crack down on domestic radicals and revive the Internal Security Committee in Congress. Now, these are the projects that Edward Noble pays for and delivers to Edwin Meese. And then it gets these billions of dollars as chairman to decide that Dow Chemical and Exxon and the oil companies can have this money with no controls over them. Impose a 10% across-the-board personal income tax cut. convert the Occupational Safe and Healthy Health Administration and Mine Safety, literally do away with them and health and the mining, the accidents that take place. As I say, this was handed to Edwin Meese. This was a $100,000 study for the transition team. Meese got his copy and said, "We are anxiously waiting to get it in our hands." Oh, this was E. Pendleton James, who procures agents and employees for the Hughes Corporation, for the Hughes Airplane, and for Bank of America and Dart Industry. And he was on the transition team with Helene Von Dahm, and they were very excited to have it. Now, the study advised Ronald Reagan to recognize the reality of subversion and talk about the emphasis of the un-American nature of people who are dissident. I have an article that I cut out about 2 weeks ago at the Reverend Moon Washington, the National Washington Times, is being put out for the express purpose of money from Japan and Korea to the United States for Ronald Reagan to be reelected. And the whole gist of those commercials, night and day on television, is say, we finally have an American view of history, as if you're un-American if you don't see that. They advised Reagan to use the un-American, the emphasis on un-American, to dissidents, and they recommended the abolition of any restriction on domestic intelligence. And then this is one of their sentences, very important for you to know their mind, given the track record and the money and what they're doing to planet Earth. They said, it is axiomatic that individual liberties are secondary to the requirement of national security and internal civil order. Take away the Clean Air and Clean Water Acts, rewrite them. This is literally a menu for fascism down the line, and that's why I began the broadcast on this subject by giving you some of the news stories up to the murder of the prime investigator of these people and the scandals they're in and the back scratching and the huge hunks of billions of dollars and millions of dollars that they've got. But this is what they care about, the Constitution. This is, forget it, do domestic spying, call people who don't like it un-American, close an agency as an example, do away with Department of Energy, and do away with the affirmative action, boost the defense budget, and beef up the intelligence community, beef up the weapons, the neutron bombs. What more do you want from Edward Noble? Now, this is a man who is behind Meese and Reagan, who puts hundreds of thousands of dollars of his own money into these think tanks. As I say, he isn't in Who's Who. There's nothing about him. I don't know a thing about him. Now, along those lines with Dow Chemical, where they're giving them $439 million or whatever it was these past weeks, the Dow Chemical, there was an article in Washington Post, April 21st, this past week, called New Twist Emerges in a Paraquate Lawsuit. It has to do with Chevron Chemical Company that owns Dow Chemical. The Rockefellers own Dow Chemical. They made Paraquate, that Peter Byrne that worked to Jimmy Carter, paid the Mexican government $43 million just to spray Paraquate on marijuana. You remember that? Well, a caretaker, a gardener, died of lung disease because he was using Paraquate. His name is Richard Farabee. And his attorneys, is a small law office of three people versus a law office of the Chevron Oil, Standard Oil, the Rockefellers, with several hundred people. It's a David and Goliath case. And the Chevron people offered a settlement to the lawyers for Mr. Farabee, who in the meantime died of lung cancer from the Paraquate. And Chevron offered his lawyers a settlement fee whereby they would work for them for 3 years. They would pay the heirs, his children and wife, the money, a settlement fee. And the lawyers would work for them and turn over all their information that in the point of discovery or the case of the lung cancer would go back to the people who made the Paraquate, and the condition that they wouldn't sue the company again. In other words, if they could prove that Paraquate causes lung cancer, and this is what's been sprayed all around this state, their offices are in California. We get plenty of Paraquate in California. The Ortho Paraquate CL, it's called, causes lung disease, pulmonary fibrosis, and Chevron said We'll give you 75 or 80,000. We'll put you three lawyers on our payroll. We'll give the family money, and you turn over the information to us and be on our side to make sure that you never sue us again. Now, if paraquat doesn't cause lung cancer, if Dow Chemical doesn't make ingredients that causes lung cancer, then why are they doing this? It was described by members of the Bar Association as being the first time they remembered a case like this in litigation, settling it that way. Sometimes when it's over, they'll invite a lawyer into their office. But this was in place of continuing the trial. Give us all you have on our lousy product. And meanwhile, Edward Noble and the Synthetic Fuel Corporation just gave Dow like $439 million, this huge amount of money. Now, in the book, in my father's house, David Emery, who reads and sees things that I talk about on this subject and reads these books and calls me, I didn't see this, I have the book, I hadn't come to the pages yet. It's a story of the Larry Layton family and Reverend Jim Jones and setting up Jonestown and the relationship of the Laytons to that family. But it also has to do with agriculture. This book deals with the Laytons and agriculture, and Mrs. Layton, when she came to this country, her family was part of the IG Farben chemical compound, the chemical people over in Germany, and she came to this country and put up a good hunk of money for Jim Jones and Jonestown. But there are references here about Dr. Lawrence Layton, his son Larry, that was at the airport and shot Leo Ryan, the congressman, down in Jonestown. And in my father's house, it describes how, I'm not going through the whole career of Dr. Layton right now, but he was working with biological biochemistry in the warfare division at Dugway Proving Grounds in Utah. And I've mentioned that on my broadcast about Jonestown. And he was studying ways at Dugway to heal wounds, wound healing, and particularly after the flash burns of atomic devices. And he arrived, Lawrence Layton arrived at Dugway in 1951. His title was Chief of Biochemistry Branch of Chemical Warfare Division, studying pharmacological investigations of toxic agents. And this is the son and the daughter and the wife are going to go down to Jonestown soon, but this is what he's doing up in Utah. And he is studying agriculture and the relationship of agriculture to chemical and radiation burns. This book tells about Layton's personal research consisted of subjecting chickens to thermal burns in order to study the healing process. At the same time, he was devising tests to calibrate the effect of nerve gas. They used actual bombings in Utah by chemically armed jet planes coming down on these chickens, and they would experiment with them and measure and analyze the effectiveness of aerial chemical attack. He studied how to killed people with chemicals. His mother-in-law didn't like it, and there was a suicide in the family as a result of this. Dr. Layton was well aware that the position of research scientist with the Department of Agriculture was one of the jobs he took. It was several steps down from his military work of research and development, but he wanted to conduct medical research and publish his results. So as part of the Department of Agriculture, he said, I spent an awful lot of time running taste test panels to see if atomic irradiation affected the taste of cooked chicken meat. After that, we were busily measuring the degree of tension needed to pluck feathers from dead chickens. This book has a long background on biological warfare, on agriculture, on cancer. And one of the interests of Mr. Noble, with his Heritage Foundation and his desire to increase the escalation of spying on Americans, of atomic warfare, of neutron bombs, escalating the budget and doing away with environmental protection agencies and so forth, is consistent with that kind of mentality that went on and does go on with our military and involves cancer and food. And as I say, in studying Edwin Meese, I go over and over again to these various characters who have cancer, what I call the cancer connections, chemical connections. And this office is very big. The Noble Affiliates was set up all these fronts and funds like the Stanford University, the Heritage, the think tanks, how to control the media. And as I say, the agriculture, the cancer, they hit all the bases and they think just like the Nazis did during World War II, and that combination is very dangerous. Just this last week, April 26th, the San Francisco Examiner, third world has cancer high. More people are dying of cancer in developing nations than in the industrialized society. The poor natives are dying of cancer, 590,000 cases of lung cancer. In Latin America, cervical cancer, 1 million premature deaths, children, adults, cancer, all over the world, epidemics. Do you think it's in the food? Do you think it's in that they're targeted? Besides the droughts, they are certainly dying in large numbers of cancer. And I figured that out about 12 years ago when I read about the dioxin that was in the school programs, the food programs targeted for Chicago and Detroit of the poor blacks. It was about 12 years ago when I began to read that stuff and realized that these areas of population are being experimented with. Another story this week, May the 3rd, 1984, from the San Francisco Chronicle, the new cancer epidemic. And it tells you about the occupational exposures, the food, the additives, the environment, the pollution, and it goes into all the different factors that are causing this epidemic of cancer. So it's a real situation, but look at the people who are doing the polluting and the ruining of the environment, and add up that this kind of mentality can continue, like Dr. Layton with his experiments, and fund money to people who have no brakes at all to stop the pollution. Now, going back to those articles that I cited in chronological order, as much as we have time for in the next 4 minutes, I'll give you some more details. That one on April the 4th, the Sinfuel Agency chief was told he should resign. There was a conflict here between his having lost an operating loss of $20.3 million in a bank in 1982 in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and that he didn't tell the board of directors. Now, what would he do with our money if he's close to those people that are handpicked, that are his board of directors? It's the Utica Bank Share Corporation. From December of 78 until he resigned in February 29th, he became the president of the Sinfuel Corporation under Mr. Edward Noble. Didn't tell the hearing when he was going through the process of being screened through the hearings that he was under investigation by the Security Exchange Commission, and that the probe had been going on since last July. And he comes into the Sinfuels with this huge salary, the biggest salary, and he's the president of the $15 billion this year synthetic fuel program. And he doesn't tell his own board of the loss of $23 million in his own bank that he's the head of before he comes to government. Now, with this kind of missing money, and I always say if you want to check fascism, you trace the missing millions or the billions. With this kind of missing money, where were the losses? Where did they go? And why Mr. Thompson gets the appointment on this job as the Sinfuel president under Edward Noble as the chairman, it's hard to figure out, except that, as I say, the next article was on the secrecy. And this, again, gets back to the same mentality as Nazi Germany. The pollution, no controls on the pollution, the missing money. Where else is it going? Who is getting the money out of his bank? Does it go overseas? Who got the loans? How can a person go into a situation like this? It's like Edwin Meese was on the board of worked for Rohr Industries, which was polluting that Stringfellow Dam out in Riverside, the waste material. And when he left there, I think that book, The Reagan Ruling Class, again, has, I think it was $45 million in debt was missing there when he went on to be the White House staff, the head of the White House for the President of the United States, where his wife has to earn $40,000 a year because of Robert Keith Gray pulling in an institute in Texas. Again, the William Moss Institute isn't in who's who. There's no William Moss. What we're getting here, I believe, is the nesting and the blossoming of the Fourth Reich of unlimited money, police state mentality. It's all on the books what they're paying for, doing away with every protection we have in terms of health, legal rights, blaming us for being un-American if we talk about them, killing the primary witness, that investigator that was searching and got Mr. Thompson to resign. As I say, William Proxmire said that just April the 12th, this past month, he said the Synthetic Fuels Corporation has excessive secrecy. If they're getting our tax dollars, they shouldn't even have a secret. There's no secret on where you make fuel. There's secrets in Auschwitz and Treblinka and the various camps or Punamun where you have slave labor till you die. There's no secret on converting coal to make gasoline or fuel. There's no secret. Well, our time is up. We're going to do more on this. This is a very big story because of the proximity to Mies and the mentality of these people, but I wanted to turn you on to it so you can start getting those stories. In the meantime, this is Mae Brussel. It's exactly on the hour. It's KAZU FM in Pacific Grove, California.